I just want to say thank you so much for having me to speak at Holy Trinity Westcott. I know a few of you already, but also we have been praying for you at St Paul's quite often. And so to come and be with you in person and to meet you and to have some of you joining us online is a real joy and a privilege. And I know the past 2 years have been quite rough for all of us, but I'm aware that it has been, this pandemic has been particularly painful for your community here in Westcott. So do know our prayers for you. And as I was praying and trying to work out what passage to preach from this morning, I was drawn to Psalm 121. Now, this psalm has been particularly significant for me in my time as a hospital chaplain last year at St. Peter's, because a patient asked me to read this psalm to him. And God has actually ministered to me far more through this psalm than any ministry I offered through reading it to him. It's a psalm of confidence in God, a confidence that I don't always have. And as I've reflected on its words, it's led me to ask lots of questions. I've wrestled with how these words fitted within the contexts and situations I found myself in at St. Peter's over the past year. And yet somehow this psalm has also carried me. And so this morning I just bring some reflections, some of my own questions and experiences, and my trust that God speaks through his word. So will you join me as we journey through Psalm 121, asking the questions that the psalmist asks? Where does my help come from? And what kind of help is it? Shall we pray before we look at it together? Lord God, we thank you for this psalm, and we pray that you'd speak to us through it this morning. That as we study your word, you would draw close to us. You would lift our eyes and stir faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So firstly, the psalm starts with a curious question, followed by an answer, so it's a statement followed by a question. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Now, in the last few weeks, I've been up our highest hill in Surrey, Leith Hill, twice, once walking and once on my mountain bike. And I didn't really find any particular help up there, other than perhaps a takeaway coffee from the Leith Hill Tower. But what is our psalmist getting at by lifting their eyes to the mountains? This psalm is one of the songs of ascent, so it was probably said or sung on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So the mountains could be referring to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. So that's where they were heading, and it would have been a place of refuge and worship for the people. Or they could be referring to the mountains on either side of the path that they were walking along, which could pose a danger of robbers or be a place of threat. I'll move along and get some of these slides going. So, sorry, that was me in the hospital. I suddenly realised I'm not showing at St. Peter's. There are our questions. There's Leith Hill Tower. And then we'll get to the next bit in a second. So yeah, there could be. It's been interesting to hear different people's perspectives on what the mountains represent. Let me move that a bit more central. I chatted to Alex, our vicar, and he associates them with danger because he used to live in Rio in Brazil, and the mountains were where a lot of the gangs from the favelas would hide out. So when I talked to him about mountains, he said, oh yeah, they can be pretty scary places. But for me, they are a place of holidays, a place of spending time with friends. They're a place that I love to go to meet with God. And in fact, my last year of theological college, I led a retreat to the Brecon Beacons. I was at college in Bristol, so South Wales was not too far. And one of my friends filmed some clips of this retreat. So I wanted to just share this with you. And as the video plays in a second, I'd love you to just imagine these words being spoken to the mountains in your life, whether they are, like Alex, a place of kind of fear and danger, or whether they're a place of sort of joy and retreat and refuge. So I'm going to read the psalm again as we watch this video. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. So whether the mountains represent a refuge or a threat, or whether it's something just really big, the point the psalmist is making is that we need to look beyond them to something bigger and better, beyond these huge mountains, in fact, beyond the whole universe. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Whatever mountains we may feel threatened by that are causing us fear, we're to look beyond the mountains. Whatever mountains we're taking refuge in, even perhaps good things that we cling to, we're called to look beyond the mountains. So in answer to our first question, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The second question is, what kind of help is it? The next verses show a vigilant, attentive, compassionate watchfulness. He will not let your foot slip. Anyone who's been for a walk or a run in Denbys recently will know the danger of foot slipping. There's so much mud. And the pilgrims on their journey to Jerusalem would have walked and needed sure footing and to know that God would allow them to get safely to their destination. However, the phrase can also be taken metaphorically. In the wisdom literature, the path stands for life's journey. Here, the psalmist is certain that God will give them sure footing in the path of life. The next thing we discover is that God sees us. We find the attentiveness of God's watching in the second half of the verse. He who watches over you will not slumber. And then in verse 4, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I've not had a newborn baby, but I've chatted with enough friends who have, and I've babysat for a few of them, to know the attentiveness that leads to sleeplessness for new parents, aware of every murmur, every toss and turn, every whimper and cry. But this is only a fraction of God's attentiveness in which he watches over us. The psalmist could also be alluding to the encounter that Elijah had with the prophets of Baal, when Baal failed to light the altar fire on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah questioned the prophets, saying, maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. Not so with the Lord, who when Elijah called, sent fire to burn up the sacrifice, as well as the wood and the soil and the stones in the trench. The Lord who is awake, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, who is an ever-present help in trouble. The next picture we get of God's help is the metaphor of shade, protecting the people from the harsh effects of the sun. Now, in this country, we often see the sun positively, especially at this time of year when we're longing for sunnier days. But for the pilgrims walking through the desert landscape of the ancient Near East, the sun could be pretty dangerous. The one time I experienced this was on a trip to Israel about 6 years ago. We traveled southeast from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, and the temperature gradually rose to 42 degrees Celsius. And before we got to the Dead Sea, we stopped at Masada, which is an ancient fort on top of a mountain. Now, most of our group were sensible and got the cable car up to the top of the fort. But myself and three friends thought we'd take the scenic route, we'd go up the snake path, which winded up this mountain towards the fort. And by the time we got up to the top of this path, we had drunk all the water in our bottles. We'd probably sweated most of it out. And we were not interested in exploring the fort. We just wanted to sit in the shade. So for God's help to be described as shade is that it is a comfort and relief for his people. The image of the sun is then poetically mirrored by the moon by night. Now, this is not suggesting that the moon itself can be harmful, but rather that God's protection is 24/7, the dangers of night as much as of the day. And then in verse 7, we get a summary of the help given. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Now, if I'm honest, I've wrestled with this, not least as I read it out loud with this patient in the hospital. I'm still asking questions. What does this promise mean? How does it fit with scriptures about facing trouble in this life? Here I found it helpful to look to the New Testament. As we read Romans 8, we hear Paul, just like our psalmist, asking a rhetorical question and then answering it. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In these verses, the obstacles may not be removed, but we find God's love to be more powerful and more present than any of them. Unlike our psalmist, we live with the knowledge of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, where God's help and love for the world are seen most clearly. At Christmas, we celebrated the way that love led God to not just watch attentively, but to enter into our world, taking on our frail human flesh. And as we look towards Good Friday and Easter in the coming months, we know that Jesus did not turn away from suffering, but entered into it as he died on the cross for our sins and rose again, giving us hope of new life. As we put our trust in Jesus, we're united with him. His death becomes ours, and therefore our lives become his. We can say, as Paul did, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we go back to our psalm and the promise, the Lord will keep you from harm, he will watch over your life. The life Christ has given us is about our whole person. It is fullness of life. It's a forgiven life. It's a life in relationship with God, and it's eternal. We see the all-encompassing nature of God's help in the final verse of our psalm. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So whether you're setting out on a pilgrimage or coming home, whether you're at home on Zoom today, or whether you've come out to church or you're going out to work, whether you're coming into life on earth or going out from it, this help from the Lord is now in the present and forevermore. The final aspect of help I'd like to draw from this psalm doesn't actually come from its words, but from its context. Since this psalm is one of the songs of ascent, it would have been sung in community. As these pilgrims were walking alongside one another towards Jerusalem, whatever was going on in their lives, they were not walking alone. They would have shouldered each other's burdens. They would have sung to encourage and spur each other on. In many ways, God reveals his presence and shows his help through his people. Like the pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, our pilgrimage through life, we never walk alone. So thank you for journeying with me as we've traveled through Psalm 121, from its opening question, where does our help come from, starting where they are, the pilgrims looking up to the mountains, whether fearing their threat or looking to their refuge, but finding that help comes from way beyond them, from the maker of heaven and earth. And what kind of help can we expect? We're given images of a vigilant, attentive, compassionate watchfulness, present in every footstep, awake through the watches of the night, and shade from the heat of the sun. It's help for our whole living person. Although we face difficulties, they cannot separate us from God's love for us in Christ. And like the pilgrims singing this psalm as they walked, we never walk alone. In the hospital ward, when I was asked to read the psalm, I did experience the loving presence of God. Sometimes it's a felt experience and sometimes it's not. But we can lift our eyes beyond the mountains to the cross of Calvary to know the power of that love. The place where the maker of heaven and earth bowed his head as he brought us the help we needed most. New life, a forgiven life, a life in relationship with God, a life of faith, hope, and love, an eternal life. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.